When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Hi, you're listening to Tooncast.
Hello and welcome to the 49th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve, Joe and Mike, and today, unfortunately, because we're having technical difficulties, Kevin will not be with us. I have General Techno with us. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm alright. Yourself?
Doing pretty good. I wish we could figure out this damn technical crap. It's pissing me off. Anyways, let's get things started because we're going to be talking about, much like last week, we're doing a dual Sonic week. This week we're going to be talking about Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. Take it away with the history lesson, sir.
All right. Well, the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which is also known in the fan base as AOSTH, is an American and French animated series that was first broadcast in September 1993 and only for one season. It follows the escapades of the computer game character, Sonic the Hedgehog, and his best friend Miles Tails Prower as they attempt to stop the evil Dr. Ivo Robotnik and his array of vicious robots from taking over the planet Mobius. However, in typical Sonic style, Sonic always finds time to indulge in as many chili dogs as he can get his hands on. This series is very much a slapstick-type comedy, especially with the incredibly melodramatic explosions and quirky storylines, but Sonic is always portrayed as being skilled and clever, whereas Scratch and Grounder are clumsy and often serve as Robotnik's foil. The show was originally offered to be broadcast on ABC's Saturday morning lineup, but ABC reviewed the show and found a lack of animation, unpopular story plots, and other things. As a result, ABC declined the deal, and the show ended up only being broadcast in syndication.
Yes, going into the general memories here, I actually remember this a lot more, watching this a lot more than I did the original, well, I don't know if it's the original, but the Sonic the Hedgehog series show that we reviewed last week. You know, I watched, when I was watching back on YouTube for this show, as soon as I saw, the two morons,
Scratch and Grounder.
Yeah. As soon as I saw them, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this show. Uh-huh, good deal. I know a lot of people like the darker tones of the other series, and that's fine. But this one was just more of a, like you said in the history lesson there, more of a slapstick comedy type of deal. And I like that a lot better.
A good comparison would be the Roadrunner cartoons.
Yeah.
There's a large part of the plot that revolves around Scratch and Grounder, who are the, I'm trying to remember how many S's there are in it now. Like the supersonic, the super special Sonic Search and Smash Squad, I think it is, that they're called. So, but anyway, they were created in order to capture Sonic for Robotnik and defeat him, and they're not very good at their jobs.
No.
And you also get as a recurring character as well in terms of the Badniks. He doesn't show up nearly as often, but you also have Coconuts, who's the previous Badnik, who was created to defeat Sonic, and as a result of his various off-screen failures, he currently occupies the position of janitor for Robotnik. Coconut's like, yeah, he's another great character. So, I mean, all three of the Badniks, like, the show is very characterful in terms of the fact that they're somewhat one-dimensional, the characters, but you get a feel for them right away.
Yeah.
You have stuff like, for instance, they were never huge about being on model with this show in terms of character designs. Like, I've seen some of the animation models, like, for Robotnik, and, like, on the model itself, they're noting that, they're noting the potential for lots of doing a lot of deformation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Looney Tunes-ish in that regard, and that they're, well, probably more Ren and Stimpy-ish, actually, in terms of how on model they are.
We don't talk about that show on this podcast. That show is just because the creator of that show pretty much said a bunch of negative things about Tiny Toon Adventures, so we don't talk about Renan.
Oh, yeah, I saw something about him insulting just show. Apparently, he's not a big fan of stuff that's on model for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, he's not a very nice guy, anyways. But anyway. You know, it's funny, you know, you mentioned that this is not really on model with some of these things. It's funny, I associate this cartoon more with the games than the original series.
Well, with the other series is not very much like the games. This is closer to the games in spirit to some extent, I think.
Especially with Sonic and Tails and stuff. You know, I think their character models
are
right on there.
Right, but I mean, like, it's... And you had the carryover of a Jaleel White voice in Sonic, as well as other characters. You had a lot of other voices as well. You had you had Phil Hayes' Scratch, and you had everyone's favorite transforming monkey, Gary Chalk as Grounder.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian Corlett, also known for doing stuff like Goku and Cheetor, did, like, Goku on the Ocean dub of Dragon Ball Z, did Coconuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the Long John Baldry doing Dr. Robotnik with a very distinctive voice. I mean, the guy has a very distinctive voice, and yeah, his Robotnik was very different than the others that we've gotten in terms of the fact that he was very much, he was the whole egomaniacal evil genius, but his ego was to the ridiculous degree, to the point where he wasn't at the point where he's calling everything the egg something. Although that's more because Sega of America veered away from using Dr. Eggman in any official stuff until Sonic Adventure came out.
Right.
But when they wanted to converge more.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, still, he does a lot of... his base has a giant naked statue of himself on the side.
Yeah.
I mean, that says enough about it. That says a lot about his ego, that his base, like, half of his base is a giant golden statue of him. That's the size of the building.
That's a little creepy. So I guess we can go right into the characters and voice actors since you kind of already mentioned them. It's funny, you know, when I think of Jaleel White, the first thing that pops into my head is Urkel. Because, yeah. I mean, he played Steve Urkel for however many years Family Matters ran, and obviously you can hear Urkel's voice with Sonic, but it's more of a cool thing. I gotta say,
yeah.
I got so tired in the other series watching that. I get so tired of hearing him say, "Let's juice her. Gotta get juice." Oh God, that's so...
Yes, but that was one of his catchphrases. Let's,
I know.
Juice. I mean, like, there was a lot of "Let's do it too." It's another one of the phrases that he had in the other series. I mean, that one's aged better. This one he uses, one phrase he uses a lot is, "I'm up, over, and gone."
Yeah.
That's one that he uses a lot in this one.
Yeah. Who are some of your favorite characters in this?
Well, I mean, I did like Robotnik just for the comedy appeal, but definitely there's hands down, no question, my favorite characters in this were Scratch and Grounder. They were such a great comedy team. They're up there in terms of favorite Sonic Badniks, just because they're entertaining. They're entertaining morons.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of like King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard from Captain.
Okay, I haven't seen Captain N. So.
Oh, you haven't?
No, that was That was before my time, I think, so. But.
Well, came out in 1990, so.
No, I was only 3 years old, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, yeah, before my time. But, I mean, this show, I mean, I remember watching this one on the air. But, I mean, yeah, Scratch and Grounder were hilarious. And, I mean, Coconuts was always great when you added him to the mix as well. Because he was just, he didn't like them because they were his replacements.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it was him going against Sonic and trying to prove himself. And, yeah, it's, as I mentioned in the last episode with the Sat AM series, I actually, a lot of these episodes I was watching for the first time when I actually bought the DVD sets, because the memory was fuzzy, and I think a lot of the ones I did see are actually ones that will be on the third set, which makes me excited to get that one, honestly.
Right,
but,
yeah.
I mean, you've got a very dysfunctional relationship. They're entertaining. It's very Roadrunner-ish, slapsticky.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's always interesting. It's one of those shows where you watch Sat AM and you've got some pretty good story structure and stuff. This one, it's a lot easier to, but you don't monitor it for plot holes, because it's like Swiss cheese when it comes to plot holes.
Oh, yeah.
This series is one that quite honestly, if you watch it without the rose-tinted glasses, it doesn't age nearly as well as the other one does. Sat AM ages without rose-tinted glasses very well, because it's pretty good writing on the whole. This one, you do need to keep them on, admittedly, in order to get everything out of it.
Right, yeah. I don't know. When I was watching this on YouTube, it's one of those things where, oh yeah, I really, really enjoy this, and it's more of pure enjoyment rather does it stand up today.
Yes.
Which it's a lot of you know, a lot of cartoons don't stand up today sometimes. So
yeah, it's one of those shows where you have to turn the brain off in order to fully enjoy it. I mean, there's slapstick can be done with meta humor to the point where you can have the brain on, and it can be very well constructed, like, say, Invader Zim, for instance. It's similar in terms of the... I guess that one is more absurd than anything, but, I mean, it's one of those shows where you can watch it with your brain on and still find it hilarious, but whereas with this series, that doesn't necessarily work as well. I mean, because, yeah, a lot of the stuff is very similar to Roadrunner type things. Although fortunately they do kind of keep that to more of a minimum in terms of it's usually whatever Robotnik's big evil scheme of the day is, and then he's trying to capture Sonic, stop Sonic during it. And there's a few good episodes that there's one, for instance, which is alright in terms of where he notices that like Tails and Sonic make a really good team, so he decides to split them up by because one of the backstory elements that's revealed in that episode is that Tails was found like abandoned by Sonic or whatever, and like, you know, has no idea who his parents were or anything. So Robotnik takes advantage of that and decides to try and split them up by making fake parents for Tails and having like lost thing. And then they actually end up, the reason it ends up being figured out, Sonic figures it out, is because of the fact that his parents were calling him Tails and not Miles.
Right, yeah.
Which is one of those things which is never touched on in the series, except maybe once or twice.
Yeah. Alright, I guess we can get into the behind-the-scenes stuff here. The show was created by Deke Entertainment, which produced a total of 65 episodes for its first season, and was syndicated by Ballbot Entertainment, which is now BKN International. In the original run, every episode began and ended with the Ballbot Entertainment Presents logo. The plots often loosely... What?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The plots often loosely followed the storyline of the Sonic video game series, although when the cartoon began, the Sonic games were still quite new and lacking much plot or character development, which was filled in by the show's writers. At least they, you know, went ahead and filled in some of the character development. That was pretty cool.
Sort of. One thing that they had on this show too, though, was there was actually some merchandise as well, in that when McDonald's did their Sonic the Hedgehog toys, they actually used the design of this Robotnik for the Robotnik toy.
Mm-hmm.
In his Eggmobile or whatever it's called. They used this design And there's also books and storybooks and stuff as well that they had, where I forgot to mention this in the Sad AM episode, but like I've got a, I think I've still got it somewhere, like a kid's book that I had, which was more Sad AM based in terms of the universe, but it was clearly done early on because they used the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog design for Robotnik in there. Mm. And I mean, and then of course there's Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which was a tie-in game for the show.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, it's another thing too that the series did, which is the subject of a lot of jokes in retrospect, is they had a segment on there at the very end of each episode called Sonic Says.
Right. Which
basically was like just a minute or so of them of essentially a life lesson sort of thing.
Yeah, it's
one of those things which is, it's entertaining to watch in retrospect because of just how preachy it actually is. So.
Well, you know, it's going also off of the fact that almost every cartoon in the 80s had PSAs at the end of it.
Yes, but it takes PSAs to the extreme in that every episode has a different PSA.
Well, every single episode of the original He-Man series had a different PSA because it related to whatever story it was that they told in the show. So,
right.
I mean, that's pretty much where they're getting it from.
But it's one thing to do a PSA related to something going on in the show. It's another thing to do a PSA that's 90% of the time completely unrelated to the show's contents.
Mm.
Like, they animate just a PSA with just a general lesson, and really, they're the subject of... Yeah, they're more funny to look back on in retrospect, just because of the fact that it's like, oh, I can't believe they're talking about this here, sort of thing.
Mm.
And then you have stuff like, I mean, one thing that there's a lot of as well on YouTube for this show is there's something called, there's a phenomenon on YouTube, I guess, called YouTube poop, which is where you do a lot of linking of a lot of, where people like loop clips in weird ways and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually there's a few, of these that this show is actually uses, that they use clips from the show that are actually somewhat known in the fan base, and they actually, a few issues back in the comic, they took advantage of the fact that Eggman at this point was insane, and they actually, the writer snuck some of these in as Easter eggs in the dialogue, which was actually pretty fun. I didn't realize it at first, but then people linked to the YouTube videos, and then it's like, oh, wow, this is hilarious. That he actually snuck these in.
Right. As far as some of the post-production notes, after the original airing, Deke created one more episode in the winter of 1996, Sonic Christmas Blast, which has features from the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon, such as Princess Sally Acorn, and a non-speaking cameo. It also has Sonic and Tails visiting Robotropolis, which has a human population and a name pronounced with two T's in this episode. Robotnik replaces Santa with a robot duplicate and demands everybody gives him Christmas presents instead of getting some from Santa.
I was just going to say... Okay, go on. Sorry, I thought you were done there.
Sonic, Tails, and Santa team up to save the holiday. The letters page of issue number 41 of the Sonic the Hedgehog comic book promotes the special as an extremely Sonic Christmas.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't actually... Really, 41, it was on, the cartoon was still airing at that point. Huh? But yeah, I honestly haven't seen this this special. That's one reason I want to get the DVD set, and so that I can watch this thing, because I'm just going to wait and get the DVDs.
Yeah.
But because it's going to be on the third set that Shout Factory's doing.
Right.
But, I mean, I know, though, that like they used the early Princess Sally design in the show, which they only used for one episode in Sad AM as well. Where it's the pink design with the black hair, and they use that in the comics up until issue 18-19 as well. But I mean, yeah, I'm not all that familiar with this episode, other than knowing it's the obligatory Christmas episode that a lot of shows did.
Yeah.
And some Christmas episodes are like the standard cookie cutter safe Christmas. The best ones are always the ones that subvert the genre, but from the sounds of it, it isn't exactly one of those. Although one thing that sounds interesting to note is the idea is the whole robot duplicate idea, which is something that they actually did use that at one point in the comic. In interestingly enough, Irony of Ironies, it was a Princess Sally miniseries that they actually used this idea in. Although from the sounds of it, that miniseries predates this episode. So, but it's still an interesting observation.
Yes. Moving into the actual show, the central protagonists are Sonic the Hedgehog and Miles Tails Prower, while the main antagonists include Robotnik, his two henchbots, Scratch and Grounder, with a third robot, Coconuts, appearing on occasion. There are many occasional minor characters and robots too, including Robotnik's dominating mother, or Wes Weasley, a sales...
Oh, what? Yes, Mama Robotnik, yes. so hilarious.
Yeah.
The whole concept was just hilarious. And there's even a few episodes where they actually animate her with a mustache, so... Oh. There's a degree of design inconsistency there.
Oh, wow.
There's a few where she actually has a mustache, because she shows up briefly at the end, but... Like, yeah, she's hilarious simply because of the fact that she's like a crazy... You've got the evil scientist, and you've got the mother of the evil scientist, who's basically him without a who basically looks the same only in a dress, and most of the time without a mustache.
Yeah. As you said before, each episode featured the infamous Sonic Says segments, where Sonic gave viewers advice on different topics, ranging from staying in school, not running away from home, and not using guns, to smoking, alcohol abuse, false advertising, sexual harassment, and even the dangers of riding in clothes dryers. What the hell? Today's...
Sorry, what was that again?
They include... The last one they include are and even the dangers of riding in clothes dryers. Okay,
they had some really weird ones on.
I'm surprised they have stuff as far as smoking, alcohol abuse, and sexual harassment for a kids' cartoon.
Oh yeah, that's why people like love poking fun at these, because they did like everything you could possibly think of. And then they went above and beyond in a few cases to points where it's like, they actually did something with that? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why they're so funny, because it's because they did some pretty ridiculous ones. But yeah, one thing as well, even with the supporting characters, you mentioned Wes Weasley. Actually, a number of those episodes where he appears in were actually written by Beast Wars scribe Bob Forward.
Oh.
That was an interesting aside. And it's interesting, too, because, like, I noticed the Bob Forward ones and watched those, and it's like, I think that those are probably some of the better ones, the ones that he wrote, so. Because I saw it, it's like, oh, Bob Forward, really? I'm going to pay extra attention now to see how this episode's scripted.
Yeah.
I mean, like, still, it says a lot, though, that he does keep with the style of the series when he writes it, so. And it is a sillier episode with the whole Wes Weasley character. And then you get stuff like, I mean, yeah, like Scott McNeil did some incidental voices on there at one point, and you have different voice actors who pop in here and there that you might have heard from elsewhere.
Right. All right, well, I guess moving into the music segment, I said in last week's episode that I like this theme a lot better. I don't actually know who did it, because I don't know if I just didn't get the information, or I don't know, I just couldn't find it at the time. I'm sure it's on IMDb, but I don't know, I think it was because at the time when, if I did catch an episode of any of the Sonic shows back when they were airing, when I was still that age, mm-hmm. I was so into the video games, and this is right. That's why this show appealed to me more than the darker series.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, one thing with the theme is it borrows a lot, if you notice, from Hall of the Mountain King.
What the hell is that?
That's like it's public. It's been public domain for a while. It's like from. It's in a pretty old. I'm not sure if it's an. It's a symph. I'm trying to think what the term is. It's not a symphony, but I mean, like, it's a. It's something that a composer did. That's fairly well known. Fairly well-known show, but I mean, like, there's undertones there that are used. I mean, really, the music itself isn't all that, I mean, it does the job of supporting it well. You've got the character themes. Although, on the note of music, I feel that it's worth it to bring up the episode they did, the one episode they did, Sonic's Song, I believe it's called, simply because it's one of those ones that, as I mentioned, like, this series, like, I watched a lot of episodes over and over again because the videos, after the show went off the air, the local video store still had some on VHS. So we rented them a lot, and recorded the audio off them and stuff. So that one's one that sticks in my head is one where they actually have music in the plot line, where Robotnik, there's a country singer who writes a song about Sonic that's set to like the bum 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 bum, basically to the game theme.
Right.
The lyrics to that. So then Robotnik decides to capture her and then builds a robot to destroy all music. And meanwhile, it gets entertaining because then he wants her to... because then he decides to write his own song about himself. And there's some great lyrics in there, like where he's like, "I am a genius. I have proof." And he's like holding up a diploma and stuff, and he's playing this on a big pipe organ. And meanwhile, you're just seeing him from behind with his giant rear end wiggling as he plays. It's a very hilarious visual. And then you have Scratch and Grinder dressed up as backup singers.
Yeah, didn't they dress up in drag a couple of times?
Well, they weren't dressed up in drag here. They were dressed up in like suits with like wigs and stuff. But
no, I know that. But weren't there a couple of episodes of the show where Scratch and Grinder dressed up in female clothing at some point?
Well, possibly. That's another thing too with the series. Now that you mention it, that it borrows a lot from the Bugs Bunny type cartoons in that Sonic often tricks them with disguises,
mm-hmm.
and that they spring their trap. Then he shows up in some disguise. Dressed up as somebody, and it's pretty clear it's Sonic in a disguise, and they fall for it, and then they end up usually falling into their own trap as a result.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very slapstick in that regard. I think Sonic probably dresses up a lot more than anyone else does in the show.
Alright, going into the Legacy segment, there are a few appearances in other media for this. A video game based on the show entitled Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine was released for the Sega Genesis and Game Gear, as well as Robotnik, Scratch, and Grounder and Coconuts. The character roster of the game also features several one-shot characters that appeared in the first episode of the show. Scratch also appears during the third bonus stage of Sonic the Hedgehog Spinball for the Genesis, which features a bunch of them protecting the crate containing animals. Grounder can be found in the game Sonic 2. Unlike in the TV series where he's green, he is red in there. Sonic 2 model of Grounder reappeared in Sonic Pocket Adventure as an enemy in the Aqua Relix zone. Coconuts also appeared in Sonic 2, but he looked slightly different. The Badnik that he was based on set a standard for future monkey robots in the series. Oh boy.
Oh yeah, Coconuts is like one of the more famous robots in that. Mm-hmm. He goes way back in terms of it, and even in like Sonic Adventure, Coconuts isn't in there, but there's a robot just like him that's in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean he's definitely the most iconic. Grounder also appears, and there's also a Burrobot that appears in several of the games that's similar to Grounder.
Mm-hmm.
And Burrobot was also in the comic too, but then Scratch. I forget what Scratch was based off, but he is based off of a robot in the game as well.
Yeah.
And there's also some, as I mentioned in the last episode with Sad AM, there's some test footage that's out there on YouTube if you look for it, where it's just like line art animation, like no color or anything, and no music track, where you've got more cartoonish elements in there, where like you have some of the, I think the chompers is what they're called, but you have some of the fish in there, and you have Jim Cummings voicing this Robotnik design as well, which does not fit.
Yeah.
But you have stuff like where it's, I mean, also Scratch, Grounder, and Coconuts, they also brought them into the, looking this here, in issue 2 of the U.S. comic, this is technically, I think, issue 6, I believe, because they actually had a mini-series before this, and then there was a Sonic Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit misleading in terms of numbers, but they brought them in a backup story, and they're basically played essentially the same as their video game counterpart. Sorry, as their cartoon counterparts.
Right.
And then they showed up in another cameo. Coconut's got a hilarious one-shot story in the 20s where he's trying to protect Robotnik's Chaos Emeralds from a thief. And again, it's very much Looney Tunes style, and if you're a fan of Coconuts, yeah, read it. And then, of course, and more recently, they turned up after a very, very long absence in the book, where they're now essentially working in a bar, in a casino, so. For one of the villains who's basically got all of the old robots working for him in his casino.
Yeah. So, on July, as far as the DVD releases go, on July 17th, 2007, Shout Factory released Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog Volume 1. It's distributed by Universal Home Entertainment and 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment on DVD in Region 1. Volume 2 was released on December 9th, 2008. According to the Shout Factory website, Volume 3 is now set to be released as an online Shout Factory exclusive on March 16th, 2010. Pre-orders are currently not being accepted, but the website says to stay tuned. The volume will contain the final 21 episodes of the series, plus, as announced on the Shout forums on January 6, 2010, Sonic Christmas Blast. So that's good that they're having the DVDs out. I'm actually going to... let's see. I'm actually probably going to buy these at some point. I don't know exactly when.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that third set, so... Yeah. Again, as I mentioned, there's certain episodes in there. Like, there's a four-parter there where they brought in some of the game elements, and that they kind of brought the Chaos Emeralds into the show through a three. There's a three-parter they did where Robotnik's basically traveling through time to find the simplified to three Chaos Emeralds, and then right. Sonic's going after him. So, I mean, you get those. I mean, and then there's the Sonic Christmas Blast one as well, of course.
But, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the set for certain episodes
yeah.
that I remember watching as a kid, but haven't seen in years and years.
Yeah. Just some final thoughts on both the Sonic cartoons. Overall, I think they're both very well done, for the most part. Yes, the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon is obviously the darker, and this is the lighter of the two. And like I said before, I actually prefer this one because it's because it is the lighter, it is the slapstick comedy. I'm probably going to have to get the DVD sets from both of the cartoons just to go back and watch them and see if I like them any more than I already do or don't. So what are your yeah. final thoughts on the Sonic cartoons?
Well, with Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, as I mentioned earlier, it's the one where rose-tinted glasses do help a lot when you're watching it. I mean, I watch it. I do like it. I still like it now, but it is a bit harder to enjoy, admittedly, than it used to be mm-hmm. for me. And, I mean, it still has a lot of great moments, and there's some episodes that I do remember that are really iconic in my head, partly because of just multiple viewings of them. But, I mean, in the end, though, when you actually look at all the different video game cartoons that were out at the time, really, it doesn't really stand out from the pack, I would say, in terms of the type of show it was. I think that, plus also in terms of a fan base, I mean, it was yet like just another cartoon that you would watch coming home sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, whereas with the Sat AM cartoon that lent itself a lot because of their emphasis on plot and character and story and the very different setup and just the writing, I mean, it lent itself to a fan base a lot more, internet fan base a lot more, and it's the one that's often generally remembered, especially once the show ended and the comics started borrowing a lot very heavily from the show. I mean, yeah, this is the one that people generally don't think about as much. It's the more forgettable one of the two. But it still is worth it on its own, although not to everybody, I'd say.
Right. Yeah.
Not for everyone. It's more for a younger audience. If you're like an adult who didn't see the cartoon growing up, you're not really going to get much enjoyment out of it. It's not G1 Transformers in terms of I can watch episodes having not grown up with it. And sure, there's some cringers, but there's also some very good ones. This one, there's some decent ones, but it's not nearly as good as a show like the G1 Transformers.
Well, you really can't compare Transformers to Sonic the Hedgehog. I would compare this to a lot of the this is pretty much, Nintendo kind of hit it off with cartoons mm-hmm. in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it's and the Razor Nintendo.
Yeah, and then Sega said, oh, well, wait, we have this video, you know, we have our quote-unquote mascot, we're going to put him in a cartoon series.
After all, as we all know, Sega does what Nintendo don't. In other words, copies them. And then they also end up losing the console war, get bought out by Sammy, and turn into a shovelware company for the most part. But that's another story. So yeah, they did do what Nintendo didn't.
Yeah, true. So thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. The first is you can stop by geekcastradio.com, find all the other podcasts there. You can also comment on each episode on the website. The second is you can stop by our forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. And the third is you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tooncast. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
General Techno.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast. Wish you'll join us next time when we will be celebrating the 50th episode of the show with Inspector Gadget. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
General Techno.
Singing the world words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.